Hi, my name is Tina Spangler with TLC Barrels in Keystone Heights, Florida, and welcome to my podcast. This is my Q&A number 192. Today is April 16th of 2024, and this Q&A podcast is made for my online coaching group. Every week, I answer questions and discuss a topic on whatever's going on with the group. The group started in August of 2020. TLC started in 1992. And the group's been a blessing because over 320 people have signed up in the last 3.5 years. And there's over 100 active members at all times. And it's in 26 states and there have been 3 internationals. So it's been really a blessing to get to know barrel racers all over the United States. Being a cowgirl my whole life, since a little girl doing timed events, I started in Norco, California, Southern California, in a little horse town. Then I got married and moved to Colorado, then Louisiana, then Florida. So I've been a little bit all over the United States and have enjoyed that, meeting all the different barrel racers all over. And so anyways, this group just gives me a chance to meet more people. And I love being a part of their journey, and I hope you guys are enjoying it too. This week's topic is, does your horse do their job? And I have quite a few questions to answer today as well. So let me get through housekeeping. Like I mentioned, I'd like to welcome new members, Alexa from Georgia, Amelia and Nicole from Florida. And I always like to start with a story. I really truly believe laughter is the best medicine. You know, I talked to my son last week for his birthday, and, you know, my mom teases me and she says, I talk to my mom every week on the phone, and she says, don't you embarrass your son with your annual post? And I'm like, well, I've been doing it for 27 years. He's kind of used to it now. And, you know, I'm one of those moms that reflects on the last, whatever, however many years, in this case, 20 some years now. I'll post just a few photos from his childhood and, you know, to where he is now. And it just brings back all those memories. And, a lot of them make me sad because those moments are gone, but they also make me laugh and make me happy too, because I'm thankful that I had those moments with him and, thankful that I've had him this long in my life. So I think, laughter is the best medicine. So whenever you're feeling stressed with work or down for any reason, the best thing you can do is get out and move around, whether it's go ride your horses or go walk down the road with your dog or just laugh on the phone with a good friend. Laughter truly is something that can make you feel better. So while memories can sometimes make you sad, they're gone. They definitely bring you a smile to your face. And that's what my son's birthday does for me. It also reminds me that I was you. And I'm talking to those of you in the group that are younger than me. I was you as a young trainer, as a young competitor, a young wife or mom. And I had those same big goals and big dreams that you have. Some of them I've met, some of them I'm still working at. And I just wanted you to know that I understand where you are and where you've been. And those are all chapters in our life. Some are only there for a little while. Some are there longer. And some are there forever. But I just want you to understand that I think that's why I can relate to so many people and what you're going through at the moment, because I was you. I've been there. And I know the struggles. I know the joys of it. And I feel for you. You know, my part of being a part of your journey is being able to understand. And that's something I just wanted to make sure everyone knows, that I'm definitely with you through it all. And I wanted to make sure that everybody understands. This is the quick housekeeping I want to go over. I want to make sure you know you're getting the most from my program. It's not just the video critiques. I hope that everybody in the group listens to this podcast every week, because there's a ton of little golden nuggets throughout it of training tips or advice that I give throughout, even just on your mental motivation and mindset. So There are actually 10 things that I can share with you quickly here of the, what you should be getting out of the program, not just the video critiques. Obviously, the number one thing is people love the personal one-on-one. They feel like it's a huge game changer when I can review your video in slow motion and point out things with my eye. Obviously, over 30 years of training and coaching has given me, and competing and winning on my own 8 horses, has given me an eye and a unique knowledge to be able to help others, which is a gift from God, because I wouldn't have that passion or drive to do it if it hadn't been a gift that God drove me towards. And I'm very thankful for it. It's been a wonderful life to be paid to work with horses. And it just is my joy. It makes me very happy. So, but the second thing is the members only website. There's over 300 videos in 12 sections. So be sure you check it out. It's organized there and you can go look at a certain topic. The Q&A podcast, like I said, this is a big part of it. The fourth thing is the 7 bonuses that I sent you in an email. It's a PDF, and those include my training notebook, my performance tracker, horsemanship challenge, colt starting outline, a 90 days foundation outline, first year competition outline, and Tina's tips A to Z. And so if you haven't gotten that, send me your email and I'll send it to you. And sometimes it gets put to your spam mail, so definitely check your spam. The fifth thing is access to the Facebook group, where you can watch my training videos and also videos of other people in the group that allow me to share them. Some like theirs private, which is fine, but the ones that allow it to be shared, you can learn from theirs as well. The sixth thing is when you sign up, I send you a podcast, a podcast on your first challenge and how to get started in the group. So that's, you know, when you talk about a group that's going for 3.5 years, it's hard to just get thrown into it and know where to start. So I specifically made those 2 podcasts for that reason. If you've never heard them, let me know and I'll send them over to you. And again, it's the first challenge and also how to get started in the group. The 7th thing is the challenges that we do. We do in the Facebook group, we do a mind and a skill challenge every month. A mindset and skill challenge. And the 8th thing is we have 2 drawings every month, a personal best and also a training drawing. So I let you send me a video of you training. I critique it and put you in the drawing. And the drawing, the prizes can be a free month in the group or one of the many other prizes I have in there. And I tag you in there in the post with all the prizes, from bell boots to halters to my training notebooks, hat, you know, doTERRA, dynamite, different things like that. There's a lot of things. And then, the 9th thing is, the mental game. We talk a lot about mental game and, how to win, for you and your horse and build your relationship there. So, you know, getting in the zone and all that. So we do a lot. I have a lot of podcasts on mental game. There's a section in my book on mental game. Obviously my performance tracker has a lot of stuff for you to journal about mental game. And then finally, the 10th thing is I do my best for you. And that's how come I don't have to pay for marketing. Because for every single one of my clients, I try to do my very, very best. And the reward, the best reward any customer can give me is telling a friend or putting a Facebook post and mentioning my name, that I was helpful. And I try to professionally and timely be positive and helpful to every single person and get back to you right away. For instance, back to housekeeping, I did 1/2 of the videos that came in from the weekend. Mind you, Mondays and Tuesdays are my most hectic day for video reviews because of everybody competes on the weekend and most people start sending me videos Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sometimes, depending on what I have going, I'll do a couple here or there. But if I have clinics or if I have taken a personal day, I wait until Monday to do them all. And so Monday and Tuesday are busy. So the first 1/2 were done yesterday. The second 1/2 I'll be working on today before my group lessons tonight. And so if you don't get a video back from me by Thursday, definitely check that I didn't miss you, especially if you sent it by the weekend, because I'm usually done by Wednesday with the weekend videos, unless I had a clinic or something. I might be running a day behind, but by Thursday, I should be pretty caught up. And then usually if you send your videos in like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're going to get 24 to 48 hour turnaround time. The slowest I'll ever be is from the weekend because so many come in at that time. So back to housekeeping. I just want everyone to, let's see, what did I want to mention here? Oh, the audiobook. The audiobook is completely done now. So I've taken my 12 chapters of my book, 74 pages, and put it into audiobook. I believe there's nine podcasts. So that was about 40 minutes, 30 to 40 minutes each. So the book is done on audio, so you can listen to it as you drive or do chores. There's a new videos I've posted in the group, a little beginner reining pattern, which is a great warm up for a push horse or a free runner. Don't forget the challenges. The growth mindset is that we are either winning or we are learning. We're never losing or failing. So keep it positive. Find something positive in every run and then learn something from every run that you're going to work on that week for the next week. And then the skill challenge is you can do loose rein riding in straight lines and circles or the up-down drill. And both give you the focus of riding with more body, with your shoulders, hips, and seat. So that's really important. Okay, let me see what else. Oh, I took Rocky an exhibition on Friday. It was nice to, I had these wonderful ladies come Friday. I worked with three ladies in the morning, really nice horses, 1D, 2D caliber horses. And so I worked real hard that morning with lessons. And then I snuck away with Rocky after a long week of coaching and just went and exhibitioned Rocky at Pilac. And it was so nice to just be me and him and just focus on him for once without coaching anybody else. And I enjoyed my time with Rocky and Woodrow. So that was fun. Let's see what else I wanted to tell you guys about. Oh, this Saturday I have a clinic in Vero Beach. So I will be one day behind with videos. I'll be doing Vero Beach videos on Sunday. And then I'll start the group videos on Monday. So not really one day behind. But I may take a little downtime after the clinic just to rest my voice. So I might be running a little bit slower. Let's see here. My voice gets tired sometimes. Let's see here. I guess I'll go into the questions now. I suppose that's everything on housekeeping. So now we are at the questions. And I have quite a few. So let me get into those here. What is best here? Long trotting a horse. Oh, when I'm long trotting my horse, he'll often step on and bend his front shoe. So here's the thing. Some horses have a really long reach when they long trot. And if you do it on a loose rein, there's a chance they'll get out of balance or out of rhythm and they will step on that shoe. So your farrier will thank you if you ride with a little bit of contact when you're long trotting. And the reason why, by having a little bit of contact or give and take, you'll keep that horse more engaged, kind of lifting up their top line a little bit and kind of controlling their rhythm by using a little bit of give and take contact. And it'll help them not to overreach. If you do have a severe overreaching problem, you may want to talk to your farrier about possibly changing the timing of, you know, they can maybe get the break over a little quicker on the front, or they can change the back timing on the back feet angles, anything like that. You can talk to them about it. Some people will duct tape their shoe, like before competition, just put a little duct tape around the back of the shoe so the horse doesn't overreach onto the shoe, because sometimes bell boots don't cover the shoe. They kind of lift up in the dirt and it still doesn't help. Bell boots are supposed to protect the coronary band, but sometimes it doesn't quite protect the shoe if the coronary band bell boot moves in the dirt. So duct tape can help with that. But just for your daily exercise, I would find a little bit of contact helps keep a rhythm with the horse so they don't, you know, they're a little more engaged and they're a little bit, their self-carriage is a little bit better when you're helping them than if you just let them, you know, be on the loose rein. So I do loose rein on most horses at a walk, trot, and lope, but there are those few that tend to bend shoes. And those ones, when we long trot or extended trot, post trot, I will do a little bit of give and take pressure so they keep a rhythm. So the next question, they want to charge into the turn and then over bend the neck and swing the butt. Okay, so the reason that happens in most cases is they haven't been taught transitions and they weren't patterned in transitions, meaning fast walk, slow trot, post trot, sit jog, fast lope, slow lope. They haven't been taught, again, like the topic today, to do their job, which their job is to, you know, rate when we ask them to rate and turn when we ask them to turn. So it should be easy in, easy around, and drive out. And what happens is they charge in and then you grab their rein because they're not turning. So they're going to bend their neck and that's going to cause them to float their shoulder or swing their butt. A horse should be able to give their nose a little, meaning you should be able to get some eye or one nostril to the inside, but they should never bend their neck. If they're bending their neck and or giving you their whole head, you're definitely too much on their face and you need to ride with more body and leg and less in their face. So that would fix that problem. What about a horse that goes flat into the turns? So this one's a big deal because we want our horses to run like a racehorse, really stretching out their stride between the barrels, but we then want them to become like a reining horse and really collect their stride and get on their hindquarters and drag their butt around those barrels. And in order to do that, they need to elevate that front end. So again, this comes to how you're tuning up during the week in your straight line and circle work, whether it be in dry work drills or on the pattern in slow work. You want to feel your horse reach when they're leaving a barrel or leaving a circle, but you want to feel them shorten that stride as they approach a circle or a turn or a barrel. And then you want to feel after they've shortened their stride that you can pick up their shoulder, guide their nose, and soften their rib cage. And all of that's going to shift their weight to their hindquarters and keep their hip in and their hind pivot foot under. So if you don't feel that happening off the lightest of aids, then you've got some homework to do. And that is really, really important. You have to teach them to collect and shorten their stride, get off their front end and shift their weight to their hind end, and then soften that shoulder and rib cage and allow you to, again, guide their nose without counter arcing or stiffening or rushing, any of those things. And you should be able to do it one-handed on with your one hand on the horn as you would in the turn. Okay, so that's important. You know, you can do that with doing it on the pattern. You can do it with circles and true turns. You can do it with the four circle turns in the corners. There's a lot of things, figure eights that you could do it with, all lefts, all rights. All of those would be really helpful to fix that. Let's see here. Not finishing the turns. Let's see, or turning too early. Or possibly turning too early. So what happens there is what we do is we give the rate and we turn cue at the same time. So rate and turn happen at two different times. Rate usually happens before the barrel, and then the turn cue happens once your leg gets the barrel. So if your horse is turning too tight, meaning they're turning the barrel at their shoulder and they don't have 3 foot of pocket going in, there's a pretty good chance you're going to bunch up their stride from spot one to two. They're going to have no choice but to blow off wide and not finish a barrel. And then if you grab them to make them finish it, they're going to get their head up in the air and they're going to climb out of the turns instead of be flat. It's kind of like if you think of a 360 on a reining horse, they do their front feet cross their back feet quickly, but they stay level and flat. And that's because the rein hand stays low. It stays lower than the saddle horn and just crosses over a little bit, like a combination of rein, a direct rein and a neck rein, as they mainly use their outside leg. So if they want to roll, 360 left. They use their right leg front cinch with a little bit of rein pressure. So if you think of a rollback, you want them to elevate their front end a little bit. So your rein hands might lift up slightly behind the saddle horn or up above the saddle horn as you kind of lift them up or at least even with it. And you kind of lift the horse a little and then ask for the front feet to go around the back feet. And again, it's all done with give and take and rhythm, but it's slightly more elevated as a 180 or a rollback versus a 360 as a spin. So it makes a difference. So, you know, that's very important when you are talking about having a horse finish a turn. You don't want them to start to turn too soon. And you definitely want them to, you don't want to grab them when they're not finishing the turn, because then they're just going to go head high and climb up into the ear and lose forward motion. And that's not good. So I would work on straighter, longer, or in and outs, and remind them to give you room and to have good form as they go into the turn from spot one to two, and then finish tight from spot at the pivot spot, spot three. So let's see what else. If you have gait issues, how to fix them. I have a whole podcast on alley issues, but the main way to fix them, once you figure out which of the six reasons it could be, is to go and just don't enter that horse and just go gate him. Be the sixth horse on every drag, meaning when the fifth horse is coming out, start walking to the alleyway and let them think they're up. And then you'll be in the alleyway by the time the tractors turn on, and just let them sit there and relax and make the alleyway a place of rest and pet, or even give them a horse treat, whatever. But just let them know that the alleyway is a good place. And then you can even walk a small figure eight by the back of the alleyway or the mouth of the arena. Well, you're not getting in the way of the tractor, and then get out of there before the tractor's done. So I would do that for an entire barrel race and not enter them. That can often fix it. But you first have to rule out, was it caused by horse nerves, rider nerves, respect, overpressure, going too fast too soon, or going too often? Was it caused by diet? Was it caused by pain, bleeding ulcers, bleeding lungs, bleeding stomach ulcers, pain in the hooves, you know, the body, the back, the hocks, the stifles, whatever. You have to rule out that stuff first. So those are the things you want to do, but that would be how you would fix it. And you don't want to get dependent on other people leading you in, or backing them in, or, any of those things, because those just become band-aids. Even having someone behind you with a lunge whip, all of those things, could even be respect. I don't know if I mentioned that, but, those are all things to consider. So let's see here. What else do we have? Another question. Here's one more question. Oh yeah. Okay. So, there are a lot of problems when you think of problems with horses. This is more of a comment, when you're having problems with horses. There's been like three books that I've read, in my time with, or even movies I've seen. Sometimes people, whenever there's a problem with horse, they want to throw the whole book at them, fix everything. But sometimes there is the lost art of doing nothing. So when a horse is sore, maybe rest is the best thing instead of, doing 10 different treatments and all of that. Sometimes they just need rest. Another thing, when a horse is having pattern issues, another thing is just spending time with them, just hanging out with them. You'd be surprised how many problems can be fixed just by hanging out with your horse with no agenda. No, I'm going to train you today. I'm going to compete on you today. Just spending time with him like I did on Rocky, and just getting to, see what he's thinking, feeling, doing, whatever. And you don't have to fill every moment with something to do. If you think about psychiatry in the movie Good Will Hunting, with Matt Damon and Robin Williams, he sat there for 2 hours, Robin Williams as a psychiatrist or psychologist, not doing anything, and letting Matt Damon just sit there. And and waited for Matt Damon to decide to open up to him. He didn't pressure him. He didn't push him. He just spent time with him and did nothing and waited for Matt Damon to open up to him. And if you think of the movie The Horse Whisperer, it starts out tragically with a little girl and her horse getting hit by a semi-truck after they slip in some ice, snow. And when he goes to Robert Redford from training, he gets loose and he sits out in the pasture eating grass and won't let anybody catch him. So Robert Redford just kneels down and watches him and does nothing. And he sits there for hours, an entire day, until the horse is finally curious enough and feels safe enough to come to him. And so that's what I mean by just the lost art of doing nothing. There's another book I've read besides Horse Whisperer, or Monty Roberts. Monty Roberts has a wonderful book. What is it? The Man with Horses or something like that. But Monty Roberts' book is really good about psychology. It was how he bonded with wild deer by just spending time out there, and then they came to him. So the lost art of doing nothing, whether your horse is sore or having a training issue, you know, people get upset when they get hurt or their horse gets hurt that they can't compete. But you know what? It can be a blessing in disguise because you can spend time with that horse and just bond with them. You know, spend time in their pasture, spend time holding them while they graze grass with you, or just hanging out, you know, with them. Sit in the barn and read a book with them. You know, just spend time with them with no agenda and see how they interact. That's one of the very first challenges I have for riders in the group, is to just spend time with your horse and see how they'll interact with you. And watch how your relationship, your bond grows in your trust by going to your horse with no agenda. All right, so for the topic for today, does your horse do their job? So I believe that barrel racing should be a 50-50 thing. We all know an amazing horse is a huge plus in order to get to the 1D level, but whatever level you're at, 1D, 2D, 3D, 4D, just starting out, just training your horse, it should be 50-50 eventually, like a dance team, except you're the guy and they're the girl. You say when to go, they go. You say when to rate, they rate. And you say when to turn, they turn. And then you say when to drive out, they drive out. So in the beginning though, it's like 80-20. When you're teaching them, you're doing 80% of the work and they're just doing 20 because they're learning. But after a while, after you've done their foundation and after you've done their slow pattern, it becomes 60-40 as long as you've taught them with mainly your eyes, body, and your hands and legs are give and take cues. It's kind of like in my lesson Friday, I was telling the girls, you say, I'm going to trust you to do it right, but I'm going to help you if you need my help. So you show them what you want, then you release the pressure. And if they hold that form or that speed or that circle, then you leave them alone. But if they need help because they've stiffened up or they've sped up or they are not staying where you put them, then you correct it. You help them. And it's a quick help. It's just a bump, release, bump, release. It's a help, release, help, release. I trust you, I'll help you. I trust you, I'll help you. And the reason we do this is so they learn to become more independent than the 80-20. They are now 60-40. So that one glorious day, a couple, 2-3 years later, it's 50-50. And they have their own self-carriage. They don't depend on you to do it anymore. They're thinking out there. They actually think about their job. They know how that they're supposed to go to a certain position and keep their body a certain way. They know they're supposed to rate and turn and then run again. That's why you see finished barrel horses get really excited in the alleyway, because they know what's coming. They know the adrenaline of it. They know what they've got to get done. They know they got to run hard, turn hard, run hard, turn hard, run hard, turn hard, run hard. And they know it's coming. And then we expect them to be like a Western Pleasure calm horse before and after. So again, it's an adrenaline sport. You know how hard your heart is beating afterwards and your adrenaline is pumped up afterwards. That's what we love about it. And some horses love it too. So your job is to ask them and to let them do their job. So your job is also to teach timing and feel and position. And then Your job is to be a calm, confident rider. And your job is also to prepare them for their competition. So while I mentioned before, their job is to start to learn to think for themselves and have self-carriage. And it's a process before they can become 50-50. Those are the things that are your jobs. So, but I also believe that you have to know your horse. And to know your horse, you have to know what's going to help them win. And if that doesn't work out, you have to learn how to help them figure out how to win. So most of us could probably write a manual of quirks and what our horses like and dislike. And we know when they're ready to enter, or maybe when they're just ready to exhibition, or when they just need to go trail riding or have a weekend off. And that is your job. That is also your job. So while you could go out and buy yourself a jam up 1D horse and you say, oh, well, she just bought that horse. There's still, even though she buys a $100,000 horse, she's still got to be able to know what that horse needs for care. She's still got to be able to ride that horse. She has to know that horse, know when it needs a weekend off, know when it needs an exhibition instead of entering, know when it needs, you know, what it needs in competition, know what it likes and doesn't like for exercise and for diet and for warm up. There's a manual that goes pretty much with every horse of what they like and dislike, you know, for bits and saddles and so much more, you know, their favorite sweet spot to be rubbed at there, you know, all of those things. So when you need to also, there's one last step that I want to mention about this. Does your horse do their job? You have to also help prepare your horse for when you mess up, because it is hard to have perfect timing when you do slow work all week and you have one shot to run perfect 16 second run or whatever, 14, 16, whatever size pattern you're running. So there's some things you can do. There's three things that you could try during the week to help you in case you do mess up with your timing. And that one thing is getting their nose laterally, left and right, while keeping them moving forward and past a barrel or a pole. So if God forbid you give the rate and the turn cue at the same time, you can make an adjustment by looking past the barrel. And even though you've shaped them, got their nose early, you can teach them, but if you get nose, they can still go forward and go past. So that's one thing you can do, and you could teach that at a walk, trot, lope. So obviously you wouldn't want to sit and lift because you're telling rate and turn at the same time. But what you could teach them is, God forbid you did get in their face. If you get back up, if you sit back up, you could get them in the hole. The other thing is the up down drill, which is this month's challenge. That one's really important in case your timing or your feel gets messed up going into a turn. And let's say, oh no, they're starting to turn the barrel too soon. If I've done the up-down drill and I sit up, my horse is going to go, oh, she wants me to go again. So that might just be enough to get me in the hole. And then I'll sit back down when I get behind the barrel. And that's going to be the cue that tells them to go ahead and turn and finish that barrel. So up-down drill can really help with, you know, get in the hole, finish the turn, get in the hole, finish the turn. Because sometimes you have to be that quick when you're in a run to say, sit up, get in the hole, and sit back, finish the turn. You'll see some amazing runs of people that do that. I actually just saw Sabra posted a video with Nosy. I love that horse. I think she was in the top 12 at some rodeo, I think in Texas or somewhere. On Facebook, and I thought about her second barrel, how well she sat up to get in the hole and how good she sat back to finish the turn. So much so, I think she blew her stirrups out. I'm trying to remember. I know she lost her stirrups in that run, but I remembered how much she sat up to get in the hole and then had to really sit back to finish the turn. So those are important things to remember. The third thing is to know when to haul for exposure. Exhibitions, when your horse is ready for super show, know if they're ready for slack or performance in the rodeo, also knowing what arenas they like. So it is your job. There's a lot going on here of knowing when to expose your horse to what environment and at what level. So, for instance, if you decide you want to go to PacWest at Ocala Livestock Pavilion and your horse has never been to a super show, I would highly recommend exhibitioning first and get them used to the sights and sounds of a building before you throw them in a show. I've seen a lot of girls mess horses up by just entering them NBHA state finals in Kissimmee without ever taking them to a building. It's just a lot of stress and a lot of pressure, and it really fries their little brains. So don't do that if you can avoid it. Prepare your horse to win. Don't overpressure them. Don't overexpose them. Don't push them before they're ready. Take the time it takes. And if that means skipping a weekend, if that means hauling to exhibition only, if that means hauling to put them in that environment without the pressure of competition and just ride them around, do that. So it's your job to develop a solid horse, and you have to know your horse. You have to trust your gut, and you have to put your horse before the competition. So while this topic is, does your horse do their job? The horse cannot do their job if they were not taught properly. You know, just like you, if you get hired for a position and no one gives you on the job training, I guess after a while you could muddle through and lots of mistakes and figure it out. And that's what some horses do. But why put them through that? Why make them muddle through pressure and stress and mistakes when you could give them good training and help them have an easy process and develop a calm, confident, happy barrel horse? And that should be your ultimate goal. So those are the main points that I wanted to bring up today. I truly hope that that you found some golden nuggets in today's podcast that are helpful for you. And I wanted to go ahead and close. Let me read my last couple notes here, make sure I didn't forget anything. Let's see here. I do want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to everyone that is a part of TLC, that to also to anyone who's ever told a friend about me or did a Facebook post. When you post your videos on Facebook and you want to give me a shout out, I always appreciate that. So thank you for that. And that's how my business stays in business as long as it has for over 30 years is word of mouth and not having to pay for marketing. So I do really appreciate the referrals, and I wanted to just say that. I also wanted to say to cherish this moment that you are currently in, as one day, you know, as I started out the podcast talking about the memories with my son and how they made me smile or laugh and kind of made me sad that I missed them. So I want to say that to you right now, because you need to cherish this moment that you're in, because as one day, this is going to be a memory and you may very well miss this as one of the good old days. So just remember that, you know, your family, your friends, your horses, your dogs, you know, your ranch, you know, your big goals, your wins, your losses even, that you learn from. Just be thankful and grateful to God for all of it, and realize that, you know, everything is a season and it will pass. Everything is a chapter in a book and it will pass. The good times pass, the bad times pass. So just be appreciative for each and every moment and every day is what I wanted to say. So thanks for tuning in to this week's podcast. And as always, ride with heart and God bless.